Yes, it is. And you are listening to 93.7 WEI. You can call us at 617-779-7937. And real quick, Ted, yesterday, I believe it might have been Burt Breer, came out and said that things aren't looking good for Gay Backus to be on the – it looks like they're saying he's going to be redshirted possibly. This is not a good place that this team is
in. Redshirted? Did he say that? Yeah. What? Missed the whole year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what he said.
Yep, it says he's inching closer to a red shirt season.
Does that mean he goes back in the draft?
No.
Seriously, I think you can lose if a guy doesn't sign. What do you mean? I don't even understand that.
Oh, well, the Patriots have his rights.
They would still retain his rights?
Yeah. So red shirt just means basically go on the IR.
Just on practice squad all year or whatever?
Not even practice squad.
Just IR.
Yeah,
IR. All right, so I got to ask you, Ted, who's to blame for this? I mean, this is a disaster. This is a guy that you traded, what, three picks to move up and take him at 55? Yeah. This is somebody that you thought was going to be like a pretty big part of this team this season, and now he may not even play. Whose fault is it for this happening?
It goes both ways. It's hard to get the exact details of what went on. My feeling is that he maybe concealed a surgery or maybe an injury during the process. I mean, I don't think he competed in the combine, and he did one. I think he ran the 40 at a pro day, and then that was it. So there was an injury history going into the off season.
Yeah,
he did not perform a lot of the skills and the events that guys typically do when they're looking to get drafted. So you could almost look at the Patriots and be like, okay, well, maybe those were red flags right there, and yet you still decided to go after him. But I feel like also that he maybe wasn't forthcoming. The way it's been described to me is that he maybe wasn't as forthcoming with maybe some of his stuff. He hid something. So I don't know exactly who to blame. It feels like it's a little bit of both. But this is a significant story because of how deficient I think they are at edge rushers. I just don't think they have quality edge rushers. Again, they were dead last in the NFL in sacks last year. They lost Clavion Chason in the free agency. They brought in Draymond Jones, who to me is kind of just replaces what Clavion did, and so it's not a major upgrade. So to me, they were expecting him to come in and be probably their third down specialist, the guy to get after the passer, and the fact that he's not signed now, I feel like it's already kind of a lost season. I can see him not even suiting up this year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, but you look at it, I mean, you know, because I had to kind of go back and look for myself. Like, you know, I didn't remember how bad his injury history was and what was there, but
We lost Rich. He's going to have to reconnect.
Well, there.
But by the way, I was looking this up. Teddy. Well, there he is.
Yeah. So the one thing about this is that, you know, the injury history, now that I look back and when I did a little bit of research, because I wasn't quite familiar with just how bad it was. I knew that they knew something about it. But he sat out of the Music City Bowl with a knee injury.
Right.
He eventually had surgery, so that was no secret. And then when the Patriots were seeking, like, some sort of, like, financial protection for the contract, you know, like, you can't. They knew that something was wrong there, but and I know that you were saying that, you know, Gay Backus's side isn't that clean either. You know, these guys usually show up in the spring. He didn't. He missed on-field work and like some classroom time, and that part usually kills a rookie season. But the Patriots reportedly didn't give him a participation agreement, which kind of protects these guys from injury while practicing.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they didn't?
Because they knew he was injured. Because they knew he was jacked up.
And they felt like they were misled. That's what I think. I think they
that's their job, though, Ted. You know, their job, to get all their medicals. I mean, my God, these people are treated like cattle. You talk to him. I mean, listen, you obviously know all this. I mean, but you know, you hear stories about guys in the combine, and you're treated like a piece of meat. Mm-hmm. They are inspecting making sure that you're healthy. But you know, this is on them. There's no possible way. If I know that he didn't play in the Music City Bowl and had a knee injury and eventually had surgery, they at least knew that. So I don't know.
That's fair. There was enough red flags for the Patriots to not draft this kid for sure.
But after the draft, they had him on the Forged in Foxborough. They showed the emotional behind the scenes. This guy was in tears when they took him, and Robert and Vrabel were on the phone with him, and it was like, oh man, this is going to be the next great pass rusher in Pat's history for him now to. And by the way, I don't think if he doesn't sign by week 10, he goes back in the draft. So if they don't give him a contract.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, oh, is that really right?
Rights.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, we can confirm with
Kerr. Interesting. Okay.
Do the Pats get picks back or
nope,
anything?
Nothing. Nope.
Oh, it's just blown. You just wasted your money.
And that is,
maybe they'll come to an agreement of a 1-year deal or something. Yeah. I don't know how that works. Ooh.
That's a major screw up.
Oh.
I mean, second rounder, like the expectation is you want this guy to have sign at least two, at least an extension, if not two, in his career. You know, you think maybe a 6 to 10 year starter from your second rounder, and you can. A lot of second rounders play their rookie year and never look back. But to me, that's a high draft pick is what I'm trying to say, second rounder. And so to miss on a high draft pick like that is disappointing.
Well, we got Tommy Curran on at 4 o'clock, and we'll see what he knows about this situation. It is a mess, though, and I know you're talking about how some of it might be on Gabe's side, but it just seems like the blame pie. I've been feeling it's like 90% the Patriots. How do you not know this? It's your job to know this.
Well,
before
and you wonder about the distraction. You know, like, then you go anything that goes wrong around draft time. You wonder about the off. Season distractions this team dealt with.
Oh, always back to Vrabel, but we never talk about Vrabel.
I didn't mention
apparently.
That.
That's right. Let's. You know what? Let's. We got some people who are fired up about JB and Jaylen Brown. Let's go to Tom in Chicopee. What's up, Tom? How's it going, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jaylen Brown. You know, there's some analytical stuff that kind of shows. You know, maybe he wasn't as efficient as we want him to be, and like. We're gonna find out how that's gonna affect us. But there's one thing about Jaylen Brown that I really appreciate is that he always tried hard. And I know the whole with this podcast that was a little dramatic, the woe is me thing. But we traded him, and he tried hard. He tried hard, and he won here. But it doesn't mean anti Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum's a great player. I have a Tatum jersey and a Brown jersey, right? I think they're both great in different ways. But I just I don't know. I have a hard time hating on Jaylen Brown.
Well,
even if he's going to do the drama stuff.
And Tom, to me, I always separate the player on the court to off the court. I don't think anybody's got a problem with Jaylen Brown on the court, unless you talk about him dribbling off his foot and maybe him being
Ted
redundant.
Does. Ted doesn't. That Haberstroh guy, my God, the spear campaign.
Yep. I threw all those notes away, but, man, there's a lot of evidence that he was not as good on the court as people think. That's all.
Sure. Right. And the redundancy obviously is there. But listen, I agree with you for the most part, but you can admire a player but think he's a total nerd off the court. There's no question.
But why? What makes him a nerd off the court? Just because he does a Twitch stream? Like the,
no, that comment I just read. Like I don't have it in front of me. It's like I walk as me. Like he talked as if this was like the heaviest thing possible. Like the gravity on the weight of the world was on his shoulders. He's about to like save 1,000 lives.
And the poor guy got booed when he was drafted. Jeez, I mean,
this poor guy that's got all that money and just
the team tried to trade him 4 times at least that we know of. Yeah. I mean, he did. God,
the same team that paid him. More money than anybody is ever going to be willing to pay him.
And they packed his ass up. What did he say after that? They packed me up.
Please.
I mean, he was a pretty good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was
People
pretty
get
good
traded
in the community.
All the time in the league. I mean, that's the thing. And he even knows that. He admits that. So, it stinks. If I was him, I'd be a little pissed off by that, too. But, I mean, the way he just talked about it was pretty funny. You have to admit. That was a little.
I mean, the team that
dramatic.
had you on their roster for 9 years and then trades you, that's what they did him dirty. By trading him after 9 years, come on! I mean, that's crazy.
He reminds me of those like soccer guys in the World Cup who barely got touched. And they flop on the ground. It's just like
got snubbed from the Olympics. I mean, how many?
Well, that's on him, man. The dude called out Nike, and Nike's the biggest sponsor. Like he, there's politics to it too. I know you want to be out there, and I know you want to play, but I mean, you literally found the biggest sponsor of the Olympics and said that they were like. They had slaves working for their
company. That's what he's talking about. He's trying to change some things. He's trying to go out there and be outspoken, and he's dealing with it in weird ways. It is heavy to be Jaylen Brown.
But you got
to
be willing to play the game a little bit,
yeah, too. You can't. You got to know what your words are going to impact what decisions come your way. Like, you can't just be mad at everybody.
You can't always be gentle when trying to make social change.
Just zero accountability. Do you like athletes that don't take any accountability?
He had accountability. I mean,
no, he did not. Nope. Not in that Olympic thing. That's what we're talking. No way.
Well, he also like was way too happy when they got bounced in the first round historically this year. I mean, that's the major character
flaw. Wasn't the best. Like
that,
right.
You know, that was the one thing that you could look at him. And as I said, separate the player from the guy off the court, that stunk. Like, that was like really toe deaf. And he was a dick to his teammate of all these years.
You know what? The NBA kind of spoke. I mean, how many teams were beating down the doors to trade for Jaylen Brown? Well, I mean, it's not like it's only the Celtics that felt this way.
But do we know that, or did Brad just take the first deal possible?
I think we know that. I think we know that. It was reported.
All right, 617-779-7937. I know we've been talking a little bit about Tom Brady and his WWE foray, but there might be a reason he's doing this, and it's not the reason you expect. Tom Brady might have the loftiest of goals.
No.
Like, the loftiest. We have to talk about this. We will be back in two. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. We are in the Ketchus Law Studios. No fee unless you win. Go to the Odyssey app. Press that little microphone button. Leave us a message. We play them at the 5 o'clock hour over there when we launch our take grenades. This LeBron James situation is very, very interesting, because he's obviously, it sounds like the schedule release is being held up. And I think that the commissioner even admitted this, because they want to find out where LeBron is going so they can set the national games for more LeBron all the time. Because LeBron is the straw that stirs the drink, apparently, still in the NBA, despite having new stars and new like Wembanyama and the Knicks. And it doesn't seem like the league really needs LeBron anymore. Like, LeBron is obviously still a big star and a big draw, but I mean, come on, let's get real. I don't think anybody thinks he's near as good as he used to be. And so what's happening now is that LeBron James is filming a documentary, according to reports, on where he is going to go this next season. And I guess it's down to the Sixers and the Cavs and the Heat. But according to Kevin O'Connor, who is a very well-sourced person, he said that sources believe LeBron James is slow-playing his decision to see if any of his suitors can find a way to land Anthony Davis or Kyrie Irving.
Dude.
And that AD and Kyrie don't seem available for a trade.
Well, right. One of those big balls on this million guy a year. It's unbelievable.
I mean, good Lord. Yeah, I got to have both of them, on the same team that I'm on. That's crazy.
So what's so great about all this is that Kevin O'Connor did a bunch of research and was, talking to people at each of these teams and sources that he knew. So problem number one is that the Mavericks don't want to trade Kyrie Irving. They're like, sorry. We like him here. We're not going to give him to Cleveland. Are you crazy? No. They don't have anything we want. And on top of that, LeBron James wants them to trade James Harden for Kyrie Irving, but the Cavaliers like James Harden. They're like, sorry, we like this guy. We think that he's good with us. I got no problem with that. And then Cleveland just doesn't seem to want to make a deal, so he's stuck there. And now, apparently, the Wizards don't want to trade Anthony Davis to go to Golden State, which is another place that he kind of wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So they like Anthony Davis. Like, no, we think he's perfectly fine here. I don't care if you want to play with him. No. And then apparently the Warriors don't want to trade Butler, because that would have made move for LeBron James. So LeBron's like trying to make things happen, and all of the teams are going, no, we're good.
No, seriously, but all this for what, one more year? I mean, isn't this kind of, he basically said it's one more year?
One more ring.
So he basically wants everybody to just, change what they're doing and just to accommodate him for one more year.
But I don't blame him for that. I mean, if he truly is trying to pass Jordan, and get one more championship, wouldn't you want to go to the best team possible? I mean, you would. That makes sense. It's not like outrageous that he would want star power around him, unless it's guys that are just his buddies that are not going to help him on the court.
It's just amazing that he wants these players that are on different teams to go
and pick. That's the NBA he's used to, these super teams.
But that's a lot of maneuvering for a guy that's basically going to go on a swan song. He's basically, this is his last year, and everybody, that's so much to give up for an organization to just, bend to his knee like that. I think that's a lot to ask any organization.
Yeah.
By the way, did you guys see that for a moment? It looked like the Miami Heat knew that LeBron James was going to be coming there, because they put a link for a live stream called LeBron James Introductory Press Conference, scheduled for July 27th, that was posted this past week to the Heat's YouTube channel.
Oh, it's incredible. So, I mean, what does that tell you? To me, that makes them the leaders in the clubhouse, right?
Schefter basically went on Philly radio and said, I got a text that he was going to go to Miami, that it's done. Unless he could have changed his mind, I guess.
Then the internet did some digging and found that the Miami Heat have actually put up a job posting for a new YouTube person.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh, that's it, huh?
And you know what the other thing I was wondering? With all this betting and gambling going on, I wonder if there was some sort of money made on Kalshi or whatever with that leak yesterday.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Kalshi, Ken, have you seen where right now the leader is?
45% Miami right now, 29% Cleveland. But Golden State's still at 17, so they're hanging in there.
Where's Philly?
Philly is 9% and dropping.
You see, you should be rooting against LeBron to Philly, because that's the one thing that can steady that roster. I've said this before, you've got a bunch of alphas that are going to be fighting with each other, you know, when you've got Embiid and you got Maxey and you've got Jaylen Brown. That could end up imploding. Root for that. Root for them to implode.
But you think LeBron would steady the roster?
Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't disagree more on that one.
He's the alpha. Because he shows up and you know who the alpha is. He's the alpha.
He's the old alpha.
It doesn't matter.
Past his prime alpha.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. They will listen to him.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
You heard Jaylen.
Think Jaylen's going to listen to him?
It's heavy to walk as him. You know that.
Yeah, man.
Wait. I think that in the NBA, he is the most respected player to step in and take over the personality of that team. Like when LeBron plays on your team, that team takes on his personality without a question. And matter of fact, like I don't even believe that a coach matters. When LeBron James is on the floor, he's the coach. We've seen this for years.
Yep. Yeah, is that a good thing? I don't know.
I mean, he's won a bunch of championships, so sure, I guess it is.
One in 8 years with the
Contreras is the manager. We were learning that.
He's Kevin Garnett. He's Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett's there. You do not screw up around Kevin Garnett. You do not mouth off. You behave. And there's not many players that are like that in the NBA anymore. LeBron's one of them.
Hmm. All right. I don't know. I mean, JB, you know, was pretty critical about his son, Bronny, being on the same team. I'm not so sure JB would enjoy playing with LeBron as you think, man.
You might be right. Let's go to Kelvin on line one. Kelvin, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
Hey, Kelvin.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good.
I wait 8 years, Wyatt, waiting for him to leave my team, the Lakers. And now he keeps doing stupid things. He's destroying the NBA. He destroyed the dunk contest, the All-Star game. He's a freaking diva.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's an absolute diva. And right now, there's no reason for him to not pick a team right now, because these teams are not going to move. They've basically stated, according to Kevin O'Connor, you know, we're not trading Kyrie. We're not getting rid of Anthony Davis. These are your teams. You pick. We've got pretty good rosters here. You want to jump on here for the league minimum or your $15 million? We will take you. Absolutely. Let's go win a championship. But right now, he is he's just not used to teams saying no to him, because every move up to this point, every team would move heaven and earth to get this guy.
Not the Celtics. They love Jordan Walsh, Baylor Shireman, and Ron Harper Jr. They are not getting off those guys. Do you want to apologize for that, by the way, after what LeBron now revealed, that he hates Boston, that you wanted him here, and you have hated LeBron your whole career, your whole life?
Oh,
and for a moment of weakness, you were like, oh, would be nice to have LeBron here in Boston.
Oh, because I root for chaos. Absolutely. if he came here, heads would explode. People who, like me, are sworn enemy ever since he entered the league was LeBron James, a guy who has broken my heart as a Celtics fan over and over and over again. All of a sudden wearing green? Oh, yeah. That would be funny. And you know what? I would be the best example of that. People are like, hell yeah, LeBron, let's go, baby. Let's do it. What do we got?
You couldn't respect yourself in the morning after that.
I couldn't. But listen, it wouldn't be the worst thing I've done to lose my own self-respect. All right. Well, 617-779-7937. All right. So where's he going? Miami's the team, right?
That feels like it. Pat Riley, does that fit?
He
did it before. I mean, he won with them before. Yeah. So
they're all about just
Sixers. 95% of their salary is going to three players already.
Right.
With the 76ers, and then you add LeBron. I don't think he's going to take the league minimum. I don't. I just don't know how you fit him with the 76ers.
That's a good point.
Didn't him and the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers used to have an issue? Didn't they hate each other
for a while? But then they made up, and he came back.
They made up. So, okay, yeah. All right.
So that issue was before his return when he won a championship. Him and Dan Gilbert like had a falling. Remember, okay. He like wrote a letter in like yep. Comic Sans or something fans after he did the decision. And by the way, the decision he did do Cleveland dirty. There's not even a question. He did them dirty. That was kind of a dick thing to
do. Wasn't that received kind of poorly? He made a spectacle of it. And he's doing it again.
Not the decision, the indecision. This is what this is called. Yeah. Yes.
That's right. And for the first time, it is wild to see an entire league just go, you know, LeBron, we're good. Mm-hmm. and you can totally tell Rich Paul's getting off the phone and he's telling LeBron, and LeBron's like, what? What did you just say to me? No one's ever said that to me.
I wouldn't want him on my team. So for 1 year, he's basically going to take over. It's his team. The coach doesn't matter. All the star players got to bend the knee to this guy. It's not worth it, man.
And you probably got to take Bronny. It's like Belichick at UNC. Yeah, it's a package deal.
I could see. I'd be curious to know if all these teams that are linked to him truly are interested in his services.
I'm doing everything I can to get this guy. He's the one person that can actually make that. It makes sense for him to go to Miami.
Now there,
with all
I agree.
That size.
Yeah, I agree with you. If he would play for $5 million or something like that, that absolutely puts Miami on the map.
Yeah, no question. All right, 617-779-7937. Chad Tracy, I believe this is his job to lose now. Like, I now believe that they fully intend on keeping him around for the long haul once the season's over. What will he have to do to not get that job? Are you with me? Do you believe that this is his job to lose and that they have already made a decision? Because, my God, we are seeing somebody who came in here, and now these articles are coming out about what's going on behind the scenes. The team loves him. What he's doing seems to be working. This seems to be the guy, because you never know. It's a crapshoot getting these managers in here. And right now, I see you, Ted, shaking your head a little bit. I like it. But we'll take your calls as well. 617-779-7937. Is Chad Tracy the guy, and should he be from here on out? It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Mr. Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. Stiz, were you a big LL Cool J guy? I hear this thing right here. When you were learning rap, you know, how to... When you were first upcoming in the rap scene, did you respect LL Cool J?
Oh, yeah. When I was a young kid, I used to, you know, play LL Cool J songs, start them and stop them so I could write down the lyrics. I'd wear, like, one of my pant legs up like LL. Yeah, LL was the man.
He walked around with one pant leg?
That was an LL Cool J thing.
What was that about?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that, if I'm not mistaken, the first LL Cool J album was produced in Rick Rubin's dorm room at NYU.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
He did the whole thing in like this tiny ass room. He had a roommate and everything. He was just like a college kid.
Why are people
and he produced these amazing albums in his dorm room?
Rick Rubin either lost it or people were just like out to get him. He's like Jalen Brown. Every time I see a story on him, it's like Rick Rubin is no longer the man.
What? Oh, really? People don't like Rick Rubin?
I don't know. It seems like
he's just kind of weird. He walks around with no shoes. His hair's all messy.
Like Matt Collins.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. The guy produced Run DMC and Slayer, and they made their best album. So you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. And Johnny Cash.
System of a Down, too. Johnny Cash, yeah.
Yep, so many great bands. So good on him. Although I will argue that he ruined the Red Hot Chili Peppers because he told Anthony Kiedis that he could sing, which... He's not a good singer. All right. But he's a great rapper. The early stuff, he was very good. All right. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. We're in the Catch Us Law Studios. No fee unless you win. And Chad Tracy has been the revelation of this season. I think that once Craig Breslow decided to put his clankers on the table and get rid of Alex Cora, a decision that I think almost across the board most people thought was insanity. Like, especially at that, we're like, what are you doing at this time of the season? You're getting rid of Alex Cora. You know, how could this possibly be? This dude won a World Series here. And then in comes Chad Tracy, and with the same pieces, actually worse pieces because Roman Anthony was injured under his watch, this team has turned it around in a way that I can't remember a team doing anything like this. I mean, we've used the term historic in two different ways in the same season. They were historically bad a month ago. Like, how many times, guys, did we hear or even say, this is the worst Red Sox team I ever remember seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was being debated 5 weeks ago.
Yep, daily.
Yep. And now we're hearing words like history once again and historical in this 15-game winning streak that they've gone through, and just how well they have turned things around is something that you'll remember for a long, long time. And I think a lot of that has to do with Chad Tracy. I'd like to give us a little bit of credit because from the beginning, I think we knew that this guy was good from when he stepped in studio and said, you know what, Rich, Ken, and Ted, you're the kind of guys they're going to bring me to the next level. And we did.
He did say that.
You can always thank us. But what we're learning about him is, you know, he's got a very different method than what Alex Cora had with this team. And there was a caller earlier saying that maybe we've been giving Alex Cora a little too much credit for his time being manager of the Red Sox. I mean, it is pretty wild when you look at the team that won. It was a juggernaut. I mean, I read you some of the roster. I had to go back and look, and once you see it for yourself, when you're living it, you're like, yeah, these guys are good. But Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale, David Price, Craig Kimbrel, Andrew Benintendi, Rafael Devers. I mean, dude, that lineup is insane.
Yeah.
That's like an all-star game. And then you take a look at, you know, maybe obviously he didn't have the best track record here because, you know, he lost for a lot of the tenure. I mean, he had multiple last place finishes mixed with one ALCS appearance. I don't want to crap on the guy, but I do think that it's a fair thing to look at is, you know, are we giving Alex Cora a little too much credit as being the genius that he was when he was here? You know, the guy had a track record of cheating, so maybe he was using a little bit of that. We don't know.
But even at a base, you could just say he was not quite a fit with this group, and Chad Tracy's a much better fit. But that doesn't mean as this team evolves that Tracy, to me, is 100% the slam dunk, the guy to be. I mean, if they start adding veteran pieces at the deadline and into next year, I don't know. Maybe there's another guy that fits better. I would just wait at least another month to see. If we've had two dramatic shifts already, we could have a third. You know, yeah. What if they lose 15 in a row or something like that? Then you don't want Chad Tracy to be have that interim tag off.
I agree with you too, Ken, is that it wasn't instantaneous when Chad Tracy took over. It wasn't like all of a sudden, boom, they turned things around. It took a while before they got things on track and with him at the helm. So I agree with you, Ken, on that. I would wait a little bit to have like a really just make my decision. And it doesn't feel like it's a foregone conclusion that Craig Breslow is coming back. A lot of people still think the trade deadline and how they finish is still going to determine whether Breslow keeps a job for next year. And if that's the case, obviously, if you get rid of Breslow, you're not going to retain Chad Tracy. At least that's how I feel like it.
See, I disagree with you. I think it did happen quick. Alex Cora was fired on April 25th. And think about it. For like the last, 3 weeks to a month, this team's been on fire. So let's go back to like maybe it was like the very end of June. When was the Yankee series? It was like, take a look. It was like the end of June. That's about 5 weeks.
June 25th. Yeah, Tracy was 27-31 when they went on that the streak, because they went from 14 games back to 7 games back. 27-31. It was almost 60 games.
He's a nice guy.
So let's say it took a little less than 2 months for everything to turn around from when Chad Tracy's shown up.
Yep.
Doesn't it take that long for the players to start trusting their manager for the things that the manager is implementing to take hold, for you to get out of your old routines and get into your new ones, to get over the whiplash of having certain people there? And then there's another one there. I mean, I would think 2 months is expeditious. Like, that is really fast.
But you're also saying that, assuming that Breslow didn't have influence over Chad Tracy when it comes to, you know, philosophy and how they did things. I just feel like it's more of a Breslow. Did you feel like Chad Tracy had all this power when he got up here? Like, he was the one that decided on philosophically how they were going to play and that kind of thing. I mean, the only thing I felt like he really had power over was the daily lineups, but everything else, I feel like that was more,
a little more small ball, maybe. Do you credit Tracy for that? They've definitely bunted a little more.
I feel like that's a Breslow thing, man.
Could be Breslow.
I mean,
Breslow's just a pitching thing. I mean, that's all he is. That's all he cares about.
They brought the new these guys.
Boy, if he's a general manager and that's all he cares about, that's a little scary.
I do think that he knew that this was a young group and that he protects them. And I think that they're a fairly sensitive group. We know that. God knows Jaren Duran is very sensitive. They have younger players which tend to be more sensitive than the older veterans. And I believe that he could speak their language. And from this article that came out in the Globe, it does seem like they all felt that they could be themselves. And, like, he doesn't call them out in public with the way Alex Cora did. Alex Cora is kind of bitchy. Alex Cora would begin with the press conference. Like, ooh, who was that shot at? Ooh, mm-hmm. man, I don't. Is it management or was that a player?
Usually towards management. I think a lot of his ire was kind of directed, I think, subtly and passive aggressively to the decision makers in the organization, not as much the players.
Do you think, Ken,
real quick, he also used to complain about like wanting other play, like we don't. These are the players we got. You know, it's like he's almost complaining. Like, and how do you think that makes you feel if you're a player on the team?
Oh, yeah.
But you might like that if he's going to bat for you to go get other guys, especially at the deadline. Now, Cora didn't get results last year because he bitched and they didn't get anybody good besides Dustin May. But do you think this team now is expecting Breslow to deliver something? Even though I know they're proud of the group they have and they've talked up the young guys that have come up here, now you need a little help, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, Ted, I got to think that they've earned it, right?
Yeah, they have. I just don't think this is the kind of group that's going to sit there, and if they don't get a big bat, you know, complain and bitch and moan, because these guys just they're 4A players that were just called up. Who are they?
Well, Contreras might.
Okay, there's one.
He's a nice guy.
I'm saying there's one, but I'm saying the overall profile of this team, I don't think is this veteran laden team that's been here for a long time where they have the right to. I don't know, suck their thumb if Breslow doesn't do what they want at the trade deadline.
Yeah, you have to think that right now ownership is looking at this, and their intention is, unless everything completely goes into the toilet, and they do, as you said, Ken, a 15-game losing streak, Tracy's their guy, right? At the end of the season, they're most likely going to sign this guy, right?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't.
In fact, I would be a little surprised if they're good into September, if they don't take the interim tag off then. At that point, if you're like convinced you're trending toward a playoff spot, it's probably a good carrot to then stop dangling, right?
Yeah.
We believe in this guy. He's our guy.
That's actually a good time to do it, because I was joking about how if they gave it to him now, like right now, I would almost feel like it was a jinx. It's like,
Right. It feels a little too soon. Yeah.
It does. But if you gave it to him, like if they make the playoffs, then that might be a good time to do it. You don't have to, but I could see that being the first appropriate moment to do it.
So wait till they clinch, like officially clinch. Not even like you can't be like 10 games up and jinx it then. You have to wait till they officially clinch a spot.
It just seems like that would be the first appropriate time that didn't feel like they were setting themselves up for a colossal story of failure.
right.
Like the minute you gave it to them, they just got all fat and happy, and now they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-7937. The return of Tommy Curran to Rich, Ken, and Ted. That means football right around the corner, my favorite time of year. And Tommy Curran's got a lot of interesting things going on right now to talk about with his team. Gabe Akis, I don't know what the hell happened, who's wrong on that, who's right, the Christian Gonzalez situation, what to look for at camp that starts next week. We will talk to Tommy Curran in just 2 minutes. We'll be right back.